you've never listened in before, this is a radio broadcast sponsored locally by Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We're located at 1128 Barrage Creek Road, and our topic always has something to do with freedom, the Constitution, in light of the Bible, our founding forefathers, always along those lines. And, of course, that's what we're going to talk about today. And it's good to see Dave this morning. How are you, Dave?
I'm doing great, Wynn. I hope you are.
Yes, doing good. I asked Dave just a second ago before we came on the air to bring up dictionary.com. I'm going to talk a little bit today on the subject of education or indoctrination. You know, school starts back tomorrow, Dave. So
I do.
Yeah, I thought we would talk along these lines, what our founders thought about education. And, you know, you mentioned religion and education today, and the first thing you hear is, oh, what about separation of church and state? Well, we're going to look at some of our founders and what they had to say about it and get down to the bottom of this, hopefully, and shed some light on it, historically speaking. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. But as I've already said, brought to you by Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and I want to let you know about something. We have a website now. It is mountlebanonbc.org, and that's MT Lebanon, which is spelled LEBANONBC.org. And we've got the Blessings of Liberty Radio broadcast on there. And we also have messages from church on there. So several messages dating back for the past 5 or 6 weeks, I think it is. So I'm excited about it. I was looking at it the other day. And
it looks good.
You can just get on there and you can click on it, you know, like you do, and hear a message. It's pretty neat. So
is it you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So we've already had people from Myrtle Beach that's been listening to the radio broadcasts and things like
neat,
that.
Man.
So,
well, hello to our listeners out there all over the U.S. and the world.
Yeah, those that'll listen in. And I don't understand how all this works, but there was a link on Facebook and shared with friends. And, you know, it's just amazing how our world is all interconnected.
Yeah,
and
it is.
What used to be available through a lot of effort. You know, when I started pastoring, to find out information like I share with you today, you had to really work for it. You know,
books,
newsletters.
Yeah.
There was no internet. And now, what I've noticed, and I don't know, maybe if you watch Glenn Beck sometimes or not.
I've never seen it.
Yeah. Well, you know what I talked about last week. I talked about conspiracy or coincidence. And I gave several examples along those lines, talked about some current affairs. Well, that night I watched Glenn Beck, which comes on at 5 o'clock. And I was telling my wife, you know, I was sitting there watching it. And I said, I talked about that today.
Oh, yeah.
I said that, you know, and I told my wife, I said, I think he somehow is listening to the record because he's taking my material and, you know, putting it on his.
He must be going to
mtlebanonbc.org. Yeah. So
is it .org?
Yes, it's okay. .org.
.org.
Yeah.
All right.
So anyway, what I always do on the radio broadcast here, we have a proverb which corresponds with the day of the month. And today is August the 10th, and so I'm going to read out of Proverbs chapter number 10 and verse number 14, and that's going to lead into the subject of education or indoctrination. I was going to carry on with last week's subject, but felt there's so much. You know, we could spend weeks and weeks on everything we talk about, I guess, but we're going to move on this morning to the subject of education or indoctrination. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 14, the Bible says, wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. And I'm going to talk about the first part of that. Wise men lay up knowledge. And the word lay up there in the Hebrew language, it literally means to hide by covering over. It implies to hoard up or to reserve something. And when I thought about that, or when I read that definition, wise men lay up knowledge. When they find knowledge, and in my Bible, I had something that a little note out to the side. I put books and notes. But to lay up knowledge is literally just like we might think of a book, such as a dictionary or a Bible, since it means to hide by covering over, we lay up things in books. We take notes. We take note of things and write it down so that we can remember it. All of that is implied in the laying up of knowledge. It's putting knowledge down so that others might come and discover it as well. And I brought today with me, since I was going to talk about education, I brought a dictionary. Dave, you've seen I carried in this great big book with me. I've got a Webster's 1828 dictionary by Noah Webster. That's where Webster's come from, the man that wrote it down. And I was reading about him this morning. He originally wrote all this in his own hand. Of course, he didn't have a typewriter, but sometimes they would use somebody to help him. But he wrote it all out in his own hand.
Right.
And the Webster's 1828 dictionary. And Mr. Webster is referred to as the, I was going to read it here, the father of modern education. Of course, the dictionary, to make a dictionary would be a huge undertaking, especially in days of no internet. And, I mean, it's just a huge work that he undertook, but there was reasons why he undertook to write out a dictionary. And I wanted to share some of it with you just from the preface to the Webster's Dictionary. It says, to document and demonstrate. It says, first of all, Noah Webster's first edition of an American Dictionary of the English Language. And it says down in the preface, to document and demonstrate. And there's three things why he put out the dictionary. Number one, that we might learn the unique nature of our form of government and of our civil institutions, which requires an appropriate language of the definition of words. And so I thought that was very interesting. And I come across this just by, I was literally reading the dictionary and got it down and was looking through it.
How bored were you?
No, it's very interesting.
Yeah.
And so because he wanted us to have a proper dictionary so that we could learn about the uniqueness of our form of government in America. This is an American dictionary. You know, he referred back to Europe and Asia and I think 28 different languages that he went back to and traced words from. But this lets us have a standard of language, or reminds us of our standard of language, so we can go back, because we know that words change over years. So there is the fact that words change, but there also needs to be a changelessness in our language, so that we can recognize the foundations we come from. So to tell us about our unique form of government. And also, it's dedicated to the youth of the United States, the best American and English authors as authorities in the use and definition of language. And then number three, it's dedicated to all Americans, that the principles of Republican government have their origin in the Scriptures. And I've talked about that many times here on the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast, how that our government comes not from the idea of man, but our principles are found literally in the Bible, God's Word. And it doesn't talk there about a democracy, because our government is not a democracy. Our government originally was a Republican form of government, that the principles of Republican government have their origins in the Scripture. So I wanted to share that with you today, just by way of beginning, because school begins tomorrow, and we'll talk about education or indoctrination. Education is of utmost importance. Without it, of course, we are in ignorance, which just means without knowledge. And some of you may be familiar with the Dark Ages. The Dark Ages are really an interesting time to study. They're called the Dark Ages, not because it was dark, but because people were literally in darkness spiritually, mentally. I mean, illiteracy. To find somebody that could read was just unheard of. and superstition just abounded. You know, you hear tales about the Black Forest and the ghost and the goblins and all of these things. Most of those stories come out of the Dark Ages. People that didn't know where they were in the world. They didn't know what time it was in the world. The average lifespan was somewhere around 35, 40 years old. I mean, the Dark Ages are called the Dark Ages for a reason. But in Europe, the Reformation came about and brought a what they also call the Age of Enlightenment, brought about a importance or a stress on education, enlightenment. Came about not because of the schools of the time or the colleges or the teachers or anything like that, but if you trace it back to its very roots, the Reformation, the Age of Enlightenment came about because people began to get hungry for the Scriptures, God's Word, and it began to be printed, and people began to learn to read more and more and wanted to learn and read because they wanted to be able to read not Shakespeare, but God's Word. And if you study about that time, there was a great hunger for God's Word, brought about the Reformation, brought about the Age of Enlightenment. The Bible says in Psalms 119 and verse 130, it says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple." The very fact that the Word of God began to be printed and promoted among the masses of people is the very reason for the Reformation, the Age of Enlightenment, the revivals that came after that, the stress on education and all of these things. But that's talking about Europe. But of course, our forefathers came to America, and education in America has always been a priority. The Pilgrims were literate people. They were very highly educated people. If you study about the writings of William Bradford and read about the Mayflower Compact, you'll see these people, they were very highly educated. We have a caller on the line. We'll take that this morning, take a little break right there. Good morning.
Good morning, Will. I have a question.
Okay. I'll try.
As we know that the new high school is opening tomorrow, and supposedly every student is going to be issued a laptop. How much privacy do you think that the student should have, you know, as issued, school property? And do you think that the administrator should be able to access all their, Facebook accounts and even activate the webcam on the laptop?
Well, that's a sticky question. Of course, I wouldn't give anybody a laptop without supervision. Somebody needs to be able to supervise. And if it is the property of the state which they are being issued to use, then I think, yes, they should have access to supervise that some way or restrict some way. I really question the wisdom of that, of everybody getting a laptop and all of these things. I have read about other schools that have done the same thing, and they activated the webcam, and there's a thing about their privacy there, but I do know that companies that issue laptops to their employees, they have strict rules about the use of those laptops. I'm sure that in the school system it would be the same way, but that's just something that, it would be hard to regulate. I don't see how you could regulate it. I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, back in my day, we just had slide rules and little calculators, but
yeah,
we
had books and put our name in the front.
No webcam in the book.
No. And then we turned it back in at the end of the year. But Dave and I were talking to begin with, about how much, just like a website, and this will be on the web, and anybody in the world, I mean, we're just living in a different day that anybody has ever seen.
Not the Dark Ages anymore.
No.
That's a good topic to discuss, though. Thanks for the call.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's the whole privacy thing. But like you said, if it belongs to the state, seems like somebody should regulate it.
Well, they could. You can't be a state employee and take a car.
Yeah, and just do whatever you want with it.
Do anything you want with it. It ought to be the same way there. But then, I think if it's owned by the state, the state ought to have the say-so in it. It looks like they could, I don't even know how you would do it, but could make them where they wouldn't do anything but
Yeah, they can block, they can restrict access to sites.
Yeah. But I know there's bound to be ways around that.
Kids are pretty smart.
Yeah. They know more than the adults do when it comes to those things. But, of course, they're giving those out, I guess, so they can do research and things. And I'm going to get to an example about that using the dictionary in just a moment. I was talking about the founding forefathers and the stress that they put on education. You know, in America, education has always been emphasized greatly from the very beginning. And I wanted to read just a little bit about what John Adams had said about the beginning of public education in America. And he talks about how it goes back to 1647, and the legislature in Massachusetts passed a law requiring every community of 50 families or householders to set up a free public grammar school to teach the fundamentals of reading, writing, ciphering, history, geography, and Bible study. And most schools in America once upon a time had Bible study, Bible reading time, devotions, time of prayer.
Well, they met at the church.
Pledge of Allegiance. Yes, the church and the school was one and the same. If you've ever watched Little House on the Prairie, you knew that. Yeah, isn't that sad how we learn our history?
Little House.
Yeah.
But Thank you, Michael Linden.
That was based on actual books, though. So there is some truth to it, a lot of truth to it. And but John Adams said this. He stated that this whole program was designed to have knowledge diffused generally through the whole body of the people. And he said they made an early provision by law that every town consisting of so many families should be always furnished with a grammar school. And he said the consequences of these establishments we see and feel every day. He wrote that in 1765. He said a native of America who cannot read and write is as rare as a comet or an earthquake. It has been observed that we are all of us lawyers, divines, politicians, and philosophers, and I have good authorities to say that all candid foreigners who have passed through this country and converse freely with all sorts of people here will allow that they have never seen so much knowledge and civility among the common people in any part of the world. He said liberty, and that's what we talk about all the time, is liberty, our freedoms that we have. Think about this today. Liberty cannot be preserved without a general knowledge among the people. Liberty cannot be preserved without a general knowledge among the people. Education is of utmost importance. Even today, all of the politicians, I don't care which side, Republicans, Democrats, that's always a major thing that they talk about.
It is.
Mr. Obama was in Texas yesterday, and I read on CNN headlines this morning, it said Obama touts education goals in speech at University of Texas. And I read his speech or part of it there. And what I want to get at, and I'd better hurry, time is slipping away today, but there's a big difference in early education in America and education now. Our founders never mentioned education apart from God. They realized that a free people were a moral people, were a religious people. I've talked about these things many times. In 1787, I'll give one example. That's the year that the Constitution was written and approved by Congress. That Congress also passed the what the, is called the Northwest Ordinance. And they said this at that time, Article Number 3, religion, morality, and knowledge being necessary to good government and the happiness of mankind, schools and the means of education shall forever be encouraged. But they encouraged, the first thing they mentioned was religion, and then the second thing was morality, and the third thing was knowledge. And what you'll find is people would say, oh, we couldn't do that in the schools. There has to be separation of church and state. But we were founded as a Christian nation, and it is impossible to continue to be a Christian nation without a religious education. Now, the early founders, they realized that they were not in the business of teaching the different creeds of all the different denominations.
There are many.
And there are many. There are more now than there were then by far. But the Christian churches at that time had basic fundamentals that all of them taught. Benjamin Franklin talked about that in a letter to Ezra Stiles, the president of Yale University, and he gave out five tenets of fundamental points in all sound religion. And I'm just going to give you a summary of what they taught and what they originally taught in the schools. They taught, number one, there exists a creator who made all things, and mankind should recognize and worship him. Second of all, the Creator has revealed a moral code of behavior for happy living, which distinguishes right from wrong. These things would be good to be taught in our schools today. We're living in a day and a time where nothing is right and wrong. But according to God and according to the Bible, there is a right, there is a wrong. It ought to be taught. Number three, the Creator holds mankind responsible for the way they treat each other. Number four, all mankind live beyond this life. Number five, in the next life, mankind are judged for their conduct in this one. And so our founders, our leaders today, when they mention education, they never mention God. America's founders never mentioned education without mentioning God and the Bible. There's a big difference. And I read Mr. Obama's speech, and it wasn't about education. It was about money. It was about that they're going to give more money for Pell Grants. They're going to take the banks out of the way. It's interesting they're talking about education, and he says, we're going to make the application process easier because you shouldn't have to be a lawyer to apply for a grant and things like that. And I was thinking, you know, they're talking about being educated, but they can't fill out a form to get a loan to get an education. And it's not about education. It's about money. The government is in the loan business now, and it's about money. And, you know, we seem to think in America that an education is measured by the amount of money that is spent. But the amount of money that is spent in no way ensures that a person is going to get a good education. Our founding forefathers, many of them, they were homeschooled. One-room schoolhouse. Their first textbook was the Bible. If you read about Abraham Lincoln, if you read the Gettysburg Address in that, I mean, you would think, wow, this guy is eloquent. This guy is educated. He had no formal education. He never went to college. His textbook was the Bible. He studied by candlelight. He was self-educated. Yeah, he was a very highly intelligent man, and many of our other forefathers the same way. But I brought in the Webster's 1828 dictionary, and just for example, and our time will quickly be gone, I've asked Dave to bring up dictionary.com, and the gentleman, he called in and asked about the high school issuing laptops. Now, young people today don't know what an encyclopedia is. They go to, what's it called on the web?
Google. Wikipedia.
Wikipedia.
Yeah, Wikipedia.
But I know, being real old, you know, I'm 40, that comes from encyclopedia. When I was young, an encyclopedia salesman would come around and sell your parents a whole set of encyclopedias.
Britannica.
Britannica, yeah. World Book, all
yeah,
these
the
things.
World Book. I had Encyclopedia Junior.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kids today, they don't know about that. Same thing with a dictionary. Does a young person who has a laptop, if he wants to find out about something, does he go to the dictionary in his home? Does he have Webster's 1828 dictionary? Probably not. I did this for an experiment this morning. I pulled up dictionary. I Googled it. What come up first? Dictionary.com. Now, are our children being educated or are they being indoctrinated? Now, we might have time for a couple. Dave, if you'll type in education. And here's what Webster's Dictionary says about education: the bringing up as of a child, instruction, formation of manners. Education comprehends all that series of instruction and discipline which is intended to enlighten the understanding, correct the temper, and form the manners and habits of youth, and fit them for usefulness in their future stations. To give children a good education in manners, arts, and science is important. To give them a religious education is indispensable. That means it cannot be done away with. But it has been done away with in our society. Anyway, it says, and an immense responsibility rests on parents and guardians who neglect these duties. Now, is that what dictionary.com says?
No, it's a little different.
What's it?
The first definition is for education is the act or process of imparting or acquiring general knowledge, developing the powers of reasoning and judgment, and generally of preparing oneself or others intellectually for mature life. to the act or process of imparting or acquiring particular knowledge or skills as for a profession. 3, a degree, level, or kind of schooling, a university education, for example. 4, the result produced by instruction, training, or study to show one's education. 5, the science or art of teaching, pedagogics.
Right.
Pedagogics, yeah, there you go.
So
that's the definition.
That's a big difference.
Yeah, it is a big difference.
Type in marriage.
All right.
Are our children being educated or indoctrinated? That's my question today. And education in America has changed greatly over the past 100, 150 years. Webster's Dictionary says about marriage, the act of uniting a man and a woman for life, wedlock. The legal union of a man and a woman for life. Marriage is a contract, both civil and religious, by which the parties engage to live together in mutual affection and fidelity till death shall separate them. Marriage was instituted by God Himself for the purpose of preventing the promiscuous intercourse of sexes, for promoting domestic felicity, and for securing the maintenance and education of all children. Well, that's interesting. And then it gives a scripture reference. It says, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, from Hebrews chapter number 13. And so there's a lot we could say on marriage between men and men and all of these things. And I go to dictionary.com and I type in marriage. Dave, what would a young person find?
Well, there are about 10 different definitions. The first one.
Do the first two.
The first one is it has an A and a B part. A, the social institution under which a man and a woman establish their decision to live as husband and wife by legal commitments, religious ceremonies, etc. B, a similar institution involving partners of the same gender or gay marriage. And then 2 is the state, condition, or relationship of being married, wedlock, a happy marriage, for example.
Right. So if we take the basic definition of marriage and we go back in the English language and what it has meant historically for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, we'd find a definition close to what Mr. Webster says. But if we're trying to indoctrinate a whole generation of young people, what we find is that language is literally being changed. When we change language, we changed our society. And just like it talks about their marriage, it says, now you'll not find that definition in God's word. What we find is a changing and indoctrination of our society. I have about a minute left. I found out something very interesting. Mr. Webster was a very dedicated Christian person. He was very patriotic. Along about that same time, there were revivals going on in our country, the Great Awakening, the Second Great Awakening. There's a man called Horace Mann. He lived in Massachusetts. He was a politician and an educator. He is actually one of the principal reasons. He's called the father of progressive education. He is actually responsible for taking the emphasis away from a religious education, making it a bland education. It's very interesting to study about this man. Well, parents, it's up to you. You're to educate your children. Our time's gone. Thank you so much for listening in, and we've run out of time.
Visit the website. This program brought to you by Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. It's mtlebanonbc.org. You can listen to the show there. Wynn, thank you very much.
Thank you, Dave.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty on AM 1450 WATA Boone.